last time I explained what the first resurrection was all about, and that there is a second resurrection, which we'll come to a little bit later on in the latter part of the 20th chapter. The fifth chapter of John, remember, a couple of programs ago, we read what Jesus said, that there is going to come a resurrection of the just and a resurrection of those who have not yet heard, not yet had an opportunity, and that answers one of the great mysteries of the Protestant so-called Christian world, of people who believe in the immortality of the soul. Can you really believe that God is good, God is love, God is long-suffering, God is merciful, that His mercies are greater than the heavens are high above the earth, and yet that little innocent babies in Vietnam, China, all across Southeast Asia, Africa, the Soviet Union, in their tens of millions who die of malnutrition and starvation, are going to go to a hellfire and burn and pop and sizzle and blister, not just for 1 year. Maybe they only lived for a few days, maybe only a few months. Just a little innocent baby, couldn't even talk yet, couldn't even hear their mother's or father's words clearly, so they understood, yet they died. And according to the religion, which is absolutely as pagan to the core as it can be, of many church-going, professing Christian people, those poor little souls are supposed to be burning like so much crisp bacon in hell fire for never having done a thing. Just had the misfortune to be born in the wrong race, I guess, but the wrong family, to the wrong color, wrong time. Well, nonsense. The Bible teaches no such thing. The greatest question, the greatest mystery to the minds of people deceived by the immortality of the soul ought to be, why? Why could such a horrible thing happen? As ignorant, illiterate people who never had an opportunity to hear the name of Christ, who were born in some Gentile, pagan, heathen country, whose parents were illiterate, who believed in animism, witchcraft, voodoo, Buddha, Shintoism, Taoism, Confucianism, or whatever, they never even heard the name of Christ, yet they died, and supposedly, according to the so-called Christian religion, they're supposed to be in hellfire burning forever. Well, along comes Jesus Christ and says in the fifth chapter of John that that category of the dead, those who are dead who are not the dead in Christ, in other words, any other human being of any category who is not and has not been or become a Christian, and that includes all those little Chinese and Russian and Japanese and African and Southeast Asian babies I'm talking about, they would be a part of the rest of the dead mentioned right here in Revelation 20 and verse 5. And sure enough, Jesus says, there is another resurrection 1,000 years later. Now, this is the Bible, the Word of God I'm reading from. It says in verse 5, Revelation 20, but the rest of the dead, those who are not going to live and rule with Christ for 1,000 years in the millennium, the rest of the dead, including all these babies I'm talking about, did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. So there is another resurrection at the end of the 1,000 years. Well, you know, instead of receiving that word with joy and with a tremendous sense of relief and with thanksgiving to say, well, what a relief to know that our God is so great and so merciful and that He is true to His word, that He has provided for those little children. They're not alive now today. They died and they suffered briefly and they're dead, but they're going to come up to see a world completely transformed at the end of a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And they're going to be given a lifetime probably to last about 100 full years, as it says in Isaiah 65. Strong indication that 100 years will be the allotted lifespan for those people to learn the truth of God and to learn it absent the presence of Satan the devil and absent all of the perverted social, religious and educational institutions of this world, which God calls Sodom and Gomorrah and Egypt, but seeing the result of 1,000 years of the most incredible productivity of human beings honing, sharpening, increasing their skills, various racial groups that have such great potential learning, developing, and honing that potential until what will be produced at that time by the human hand. The skill that will be used, the expertise, the dexterity, the ingenuity, the inventiveness, the creativity, the productivity of the human race will have absolutely turned out an endless cornucopia, and that these human beings will be resurrected to come into such a world to actually see God reigning, ruling on this earth and to see and to know millions of members of the family of God reigning and ruling on this earth. Well, I'll tell you, the scenario of what the Bible says, and it's so plain and so clear that any third grader could understand it, and yet the scenario of what the Bible says and what you hear preached in the churches is absolutely backward. It is opposite to what most people have grown up and being taught, have been taught all their lives. Let's turn to the book of Micah and chapter 4. And you see if you can understand this in the light of the pagan doctrine of the immortality of the soul. This is the picture of the establishment of the kingdom of God. It says, chapter 4, verse 1, in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the eternal. Now, a mountain is a symbol of a nation. A hill is a symbol of a smaller nation. It says, the mountain of the house of the eternal shall be established in the top of the mountains, meaning obviously above all other nations, and it shall be exalted above the hills, meaning other smaller nations, and people, not angels, not spirit beings, but people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come. Well, then they're going to be nations, just like we read in Revelation 20 and verse 6, how Satan is going to go out again at the end of the 1,000 years to deceive the nations that are on the earth. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the eternal and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the eternal from Jerusalem. So where is the capital? The city of Jerusalem. Notice verse 3. He shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. Wouldn't it be marvelous if Jesus Christ could rebuke Argentina and Britain today? Rebuke their governments, halt that senseless bloodshed, halt that stupid war, and get those people to sit down and resolve their differences, better yet, bang their heads together and resolve their differences for them. The kingdom and the government of God is talking about that kind of power. It says here, he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And there's a great more coming that I'll have to break off here and keep until next time. But this is obviously a description of the kingdom of God, how it functions, how it works among human beings on this earth, exactly as we read in Revelation 20 and verse 4 and verse 5. The kingdom of God is going to be set up on the earth at the time of the second coming of Christ.